Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf tzaddik tes, and we're starting at the very top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins. Tanur Rabbanan. You'll recall yesterday in the Mishnah we spoke about five women, shenis arvu velodoy sehen, who gave birth at the same time, and the children got oskimished, mixed. Yeah. And therefore we had various halachic issues. We're going to continue the same way today, and we're going to start off this braisa telling us about three fascinating events. Tanur Rabbanan. Yesh choylets le'imay misafik. You can have a situation when a person has his own mother falling the yibam, and he gives her a chalitza. Under normal circumstances, we learned in the first Mishnah in our Masechta that if the yivama happens to be an erva to the yavam, then there is no din of yibam or chalitza at all. However, here, because there's a safek, he has to go and give chalitza to his own mother. What's the safek? What's the case? We'll see in a moment. Same thing is lachoyse misafik, to his own sister. And finally, the vita misafik, to his own daughter. See, Marcus Kaysad, explain to me what are the circumstances. And each one of the cases is relatively straightforward, but we have to go and focus on the details. Kaysad. Imoy, so now we're talking about the first case of being choyosli. Imoy the isha acheres, v'lehen shneiz chorim. You have two ladies. These two ladies are both married. Let's go and call, one is Mrs. Yankel, one is Mrs. Beryl, and each one of them has a zocher vaday. Vaday meaning that they were not mixed, everybody knows. Yankel and Mrs. Yankel have this son, and Beryl and Mrs. Beryl have that son, and everything is great. And now these two ladies, Mrs. Yankel, Mrs. Beryl, got together in a machpe. Machpe usually means like in a shelter, in a bunker,
basement.
In a basement, perhaps it's wartime, whatever the point is, that it was dark, and then the next morning we see mazel tov to both of them, they're Baruch Hashem, two lovely young boys, but we don't know who belongs to whom, whether this child belongs to Mrs. Yankel, or this child belongs to Mrs. Beryl.
Newly born.
Newly born, exactly. And eventually, years later, these two young lads grow up. And of course, one of Yankel's wife took one of the kids, and Beryl's wife took one of the kids. But we don't know for certain that this is Yankel's son or this is Beryl's son. It could easily be the other way around. Fine. Ubam benoshel zu benosa imoshel ze. Ubenoshel zu benosa imoshel ze. The day came that unfortunately both Mr. Yankel and Mr. Beryl either passed away from the world, or they gave divorces to their respective wives. Now Mrs. Yankel is without a husband and Mrs. Beryl without a husband. Because of the confusion with their two children, the two wives got very close together, became almost like a close-knit family, even though they were not related. And they decided, you know what? Yankel's son said he needs to get married, and Mrs. Beryl is now available. Beryl's son needs to get married, and Mrs. Yankel became available. Fine. So Yankel's son married Mrs. Beryl, and Beryl's son married Mrs. Yankel.
Is that permissible?
Why not?
I mean,
it's something
erva. What is the erva? No, Yankel and Beryl are unrelated. Yankel originally comes from Sephardic descent from Moroccans, and Beryl comes from Litvakis.
No. So then you don't have that.
And therefore, Yankel's son, who also looks Moroccan, in fact, his complexion looks like Moroccan, he decided he wants to go marry Mrs. Beryl.
This is the Vadoim. These are the Vadoim.
Yeah, we're talking about the Vadoim, sure.
Thank you.
No problem. And again, Mrs. Beryl had a son who looked like a real Litvak, but for some reason he decided he wants it. Anyway, so there was kind of a crossover here. We had originally Yankel and Beryl, and the two sons, and now Yankel's son marries. Beryl's wife, Mrs. Beryl, used to be. Yankel Beryl no longer.
Mrs. Beryl.
They're no longer on the screen, either because they passed away or they gave the gittin. Makes no difference. Anyway, so Yankel's wife now marries Beryl's son, and Beryl's wife marries Yankel's son. Is anything wrong with that? No, well, in fact, there were big chassanis, thousands of people, and everybody came to wish them well. So sorry?
It's a big age difference. It's not such a good thing.
Probably there was an age difference, but rumor has it that the guy in France, that the... that also there's a big difference.
The president of France married his former teacher, Macron.
And the teacher, and she is older than he is.
This is
Isaac and Rebecca.
Isaac and Rebecca.
But the girl's younger. Yes, the girl's younger.
Okay.
Who was older, Isaac or Rebecca?
I believe Isaac.
Exactly.
I might be mistaken.
No, you're doing very well. Here it's the other way around. Here the two mothers are older than the two sons. Right. By definition, that's the way usually these things work. And so therefore the sons were much younger, and a young man took an older lady for a wife.
They had a lot in common.
I certainly hope so. Good. Anyway, it was a marriage made in heaven, and they got married. That's all wonderful. Remember that there's still two mixed up children over here, the Taruvas, one of them being Yankel's son and one of them being Beryl's son. We don't know which one is which one. Guess what happened? Eventually, the two sons, Rahman and Litzlan, the Vadoyin, those that we know for sure, Nebuch, they passed away.
No children.
And they passed away without having children. Which is not surprising, because the two wives were probably already 80 years old, and so they had no children. Okay, not 80 years old, but older. Fine. Anyway, bottom line is now these two women are both widows, and both of them are looking to be nisyavim. Who else is left on the scene? These two Suffolk sons, one of them being Yankel's son, one of them being Beryl's son, but we don't know which one is which. Since the two of them both have a brother-in-law, who is that brother-in-law? That's the two sons, but I don't know which one is the Yankel's brother-in-law, or which one is Beryl's, not really Yankel and Beryl, but the sons of Yankel and Beryl. I don't know which one happens to be his brother, which one happens to be his brother, because it's all mixed up. So then both of them have to go and give now a chalitza to the two women. Even though one of the women happens to be his own mother. But he doesn't know which one is his mother and which one happens to be the other lady. So both of them have to go and give a chalitza to the two women. And therefore we have now a case of a person being chalitz le'imoy misafik.
But it would be absolutely usher for him to do yibum.
Absolutely usher, because one of them may be his mother.
Right.
Not only one of them may be, one of them is for sure his mother. And we don't know which one. So therefore, halacha is, he gives chalitza to both.
But the language is a little bit imprecise. It says he gives chalitza to his mother.
His mother misafik.
Yesh chalitza misafik,
the top line. Because of your concern. See, the rabbi especially added the word misafik.
Oh, that's good.
They put it in Bavadai, they put in the word suffix.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so back to the second line. Keitza, ima v'isha acheris v'lehen shnei zcharim. They had two zcharim vadoim, that we know for sure. Yankel's son, Beryl's. V'choz v'yoldu shnei zcharim b'machbe. And besides that, the Mrs. Yankel, Mrs. Beryl had the two zcharim b'machbe there in the basement, in the shelter, what have you. Uba b'noshel zu. Now we're talking about the vadoim again. The Benoshel Zu, Yankel's son, went to Nosi Imoshel Zeh and married Mrs. Beryl. Ubenoshel Zu and Beryl's son married now Mrs. Yankel. And of course, we're talking about Yankel and Beryl, both are off out of the equation. And Benoshel Zu, Nosi Imoshel Zeh, Vomesu, and eventually those two boys unfortunately passed away. Beloy Banim without children. So now the two Taruvisin that are left, Zechor Zeshtem, each one has to do a chalitza to both women. Because each one of those women is may be his sister-in-law, but at the same time, each one of the two women may be his mother, but he doesn't know. So you have no choice. They have to be chodetz to both of them. Right? That's the first case. Not too difficult, right? On to the next case. Here it's a little bit more intricate in terms of the details. Here we're talking about not two schorim born b'machba, but two mekevis born b'machba. Ubo achein shaloi mi'oisa eim v'nosim. U'meisa b'lei bonim. Okay, so what's the case over here? We have over here, this is to remind you of Rav and the Priya, that he was uncle from both sides. Right? So both sides. Anyway, so we have such a situation. So let's start off with a biblical figure, as you like to call it from scriptures. We have Yaakov. And Yaakov had two wives. What do you think the names of the two wives were?
Leah and Rachel.
Leah, how'd you guess? Good. Leah had a son by the name of Reuven. Rachel had two sons. One was called Yosef. The other one was Binyamin. So far, so good. Good. Now, besides that, how does it continue on from here? Leah went and Yaakov and Leah, from here, the Bible ends. Yaakov and Leah, unfortunately, didn't see eye to eye on various matters having to do with the Ukraine or with the Knicks, whatever it was. And so therefore, eventually, either he passed away from cave lave, from heartache, or he gave her a get. So they're no longer married. What happened now to Leah? She now remarried. Rashi, for some reason, always likes to talk about someone by the name of Chetzrai. So we say she married Chetzrai. Okay? You coming so close to me?
Yeah,
100%. I'm delighted. You give me a hand now, okay?
Does anybody want to turn it off and open the windows and the door?
No, I'm happy.
Fine. You do whatever you like. Whatever the oil inside is fine. So let's get back to the case over here. We have to keep our eyes on the marble to make sure they don't fall off the table. So we have over here, once again, Yaakov. He had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Leah had one son, Reuven. Rachel had two sons, Yosef and Binyamin. And then, once again, Yaakov and Leah didn't see eye to eye. Yaakov divorced Leah, and now Leah remarries Chetzrai. Okay. And they have a daughter. So now, let's think about this for a moment. Vis-a-vis that daughter of Chetzrai and Leah. So, at the moment, we only have one brother. Who's that one brother? Reuven, who's the son of Leah. Are the two sons of Rachel related in any way, shape, or form to that daughter of Chetzrai and Leah? And the answer is no. We do have one fellow, Reuven, that shares brotherhood with both sides. He happens to be a brother to the two sons of Rachel because of the fact that they have the same father being Yaakov, right? Yaakov is the father of Leah and Rachel, so therefore Leah had a son, Reuven. Rachel had the two sons, Yosef and Yamin. Yosef and Yamin happened to be brothers together with Reuven. Just like in the Torah, you have the 12 shifting cards, they're all brothers, but they're different mothers. So those, so far, those are brothers, min or af. Now let's look on the other side. You have now, again, Reuven, and Reuven has a sister. Not a full sister, a half-sister. Just like those brothers were half-brothers, half-sister. How is it half-sister? Because he has a mother called Leah, and that sister has a mother called Leah. Different father, Chetzrai. Good. Now, that Leah is now in a machpe, and giving birth to that girl that we just spoke about, together with another lady, Shprinza. Unrelated, not part of the family structure over here. Just another lady. So this Leah and Shprinza are there in the machpe, and they give birth now to two girls. That one girl that we spoke about a moment ago, that happens to be a sister of Reuven. Yeah, Brother Shai, you're looking at me, you know.
No.
Okay, fine. Good. So, sister of Reuven, and another lady, the Shprinza's daughter. And of course, as heaven would declare, the two girls got mixed up there in the machpe. So we don't know who is fine. But these are wonderful young ladies. It's now 18 years later. They want to get married. And we found two shidduchim for them. Who are the two shidduchim?
Yosef
and Binyamin. Yosef and Binyamin, who happen to be Reuven's half-brothers, are going to go and marry, number one, the half-sister. That's the daughter of Chetzrai and Leah, together with Shprinza's daughter. Is anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. In fact, it's two marriages made in heaven. The two are going to marry the other two. There's no relationship whatsoever. They happen to share a common brother, Reuven, but otherwise unrelated. So they get married. Mazel tov. What happens? Unfortunately, Elena v'Leilechem Nebuch, Yosef and Binyamin both pass away, and there are no children. So they have these two ladies who are now waiting for someone to be miyaben them. Who's that someone? That's Reuven. Why is that Reuven? Because Reuven happens to be a brother, was a brother, of those two, min ha'av. And any time when brothers min ha'av pass away, then you look for any other paternal brothers. We found one, Reuven. He is ready, willing, and able to go and do Yima v'chalitza to the two ladies. The only problem is, one of the two ladies happens to be his half-sister. But I don't know which one is which. So he's going to have to go and give chalitza to both ladies. It can't be miyabim, otherwise he's miyabim his own sister. Are you allowed to go and marry your own sister?
No.
Everybody agrees with that, right? That's unanimous. Fine. So what's going to happen now? He'll have to go and give chalitza to both one girl and the other girl, both ladies. And one of them happens to be his real live achoisai, his sister, but he doesn't know which one. So he's going to give it a chalitza to his achoisai mi safik.
Right?
Are you freeing the brother Shai?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Half-sister or half-sister. Real sister?
Half-sister is a real sister. So that's not a full sister. Here the boys were also only half-brothers.
Right.
In other words, because they only had the same father, they didn't have the same mother. Here in the case of Reuven and the girl born in the Machba, they had the same mother. So in that sense, they were half-sisters. But and you look in the Torah says by achoisei. Look in scriptures, it says achoisei, whether it's me'ovim or me'imai is awesome. Doesn't matter. So getting back to our Gemara, that Rashi points out the light. Rashi has two separate pshatim because the lashon of the Gemara is a little bit imprecise, but we'll do the best we can. Achoisei misafik ketzah. Imai v'isha acheres sheyoldu shtei nekivis b'machba. That's Leah in our case, and the Shprintz in our case, who are both giving birth in the Machba to Nekevis. The Imai means Leah, who's the mother of Reuven. Ubo Acheyen Shloimi Oisein, really should be Bo Echov Shloimi Oisein, and the two brothers, meaning Reuven's two brothers from a different mother, that's from Rachel, came Venosum and married these two girls that were born in the Machba. Not when they were babies, but when they got older. And one of them married the Machba, the Leah's son, and one married Shprintz's son. And eventually, these two boys, Yosef and Yamin, never passed away without any children. And now we say to Reuven, do your thing. Now, if they had not been b'machbe, and he would know exactly who each one happens to be, then of course he could be Miyabim, Shprintz's son, because both of these two girls...
Shprintz's daughter.
I'm sorry, Shprintz's daughter. Thank you very much. Ari, you see, that's why we need you. So he could have, should have, would have been Miyabin Shprintz's daughter, but he couldn't because he doesn't know which is Shprintz's daughter and which one is Leah's daughter. Both of them fall into the parish of Yibam in the sense that he, Reuven, is the brother of both of those. So therefore, the two separate batim, this two separate mitzvahs of Yibam, one for Yosef, this is Yosef, one for Mrs. Binyamin. One of them he would be potter from Yibam Mechalitza because one of them happens to be his real sister. Obviously, it can't be Miyama's sister. That would be one of the 15 Aroyas from Daf Beis in the first Mishnah. The other one he would be able to be Miyama. But because of this confusion, what can he do? He gives a Chalitza to both of them, one of them being his real Achoisai, but he doesn't know which one, so he gives it Misafi. And we come on now to the third case. Lebita Misafi. This is a relatively straightforward case. Ketzad ishtoi v'isha acheres sheyoldu shtei nekevis b'machba. Starts with the same way as before. Two girls b'machba. Ubo achien v'nosum u'meisu b'loi ban. So what happens over here? You have two separate ladies. Again, let's talk about Mr. and Mrs. Yankel and Mr. and Mrs. Beryl. And Mr. and Mrs. Yankel gave birth to a girl and Mr. and Mrs. Beryl gave birth to a girl. Both in the machba. And there was confusion. I don't know which was Yankel's daughter and which one is Beryl's daughter. Now, 18 years later, 20 years later, both of these girls are now sending out the resumes to get married. And Baruch Hashem, we found Shidduchim for both of them. Who are the Shidduchim? Yankel's brother and Beryl's brother. Yankel's brother and Beryl's brother have decided they're going to marry these two Terubas. But let's think for a moment. Let's assume there was no Terubas. And we know exactly who Yankel's daughter is. Would Yankel's brother be able to go and marry Yankel's daughter?
No.
Yes.
Because
okay, fight it out.
Yankel's brother can marry his...
You can marry his niece.
Ah, that's the answer.
No, you can marry the niece, but if he falls to
Yibam. Yankel's brother's not marrying...
If he falls to Yibam, then he falls to
the first Mishnah.
Right, he's falling to his daughter.
You're a step ahead. At the moment, we're now talking about a situation of Yankel had a daughter, Beryl had a daughter, Yankel has a brother, Beryl has a brother. If there was no confusion, Yankel's brother marries his daughter, meaning Yankel's daughter, and that would be an uncle marrying a niece.
Like Mordecai and Esther.
There are many cases of uncles marrying nieces. That's not an issue. We even had a person here in our shul years ago, Mr. Bakkenrod, I don't know if you knew him or not. Then there was a person, Mr. Stavsky, who used to daven by the Melitza. Anyway, it's not...
They married
their nieces, yeah, exactly. Oh. Especially after the war, there was a shortage of, people didn't easily find Zivugim, so anybody that knew each other, let's get married. So, let's get back to argument. So what happened over here? So Yankel, now, here we didn't have a clear-cut Yankel and Beryl's daughters, because there was confusion. So either an uncle is marrying his niece, or an uncle just marrying some lady, yeah. Right? Exactly. No problem. Eventually, Ma'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, both the brother of Yankel passed away, and the brother of Beryl passed away. Now, who are the Yevamim? Yankel is a Yevam, and Beryl is a Yevam. Yankel is a Yavam for his brother who passed away, and Beryl is a Yavam for the brother who passed away. And who are the two widows? The two widows happen to be the two girls, one Yankel's daughter and one Beryl's daughter.
We don't know which one.
We don't know which one. So Yankel is going to have to do chalitza for both of the girls, even though the, one of the girls happens to be
his daughter.
And Beryl is going to have to go and do chalitza for both girls, even though one happens to be his daughter. And that's the case here in the Gemara. It's pretty straightforward. Zoki mor levita misofikets. Ishta, the isha acher she older, stay the cave is b'machbe, gave birth to two girls. Ubo acheyen, achein means the brother of Yankel and the brother of Beryl. Benosim, and eventually married these two girls. Umesibul Ibanim, they die in Nebuch without the children. Zecholitz Levita Misafik, Zecholitz Levita Misafik. Both Yankel has to go and give a chalitza to both girls. One of them happened to be his daughter. I don't know which one, but whichever one is the daughter, he has to give to both of them. One of them will be the daughter, the other will be the other one. Fine. From here, from Tanya, it's much, much simpler of eyesight.
All the way to the end of the
Kimat. Oh, no. We still have a couple more interesting cases. Tanya, you can have a situation, sometimes a man and a woman get married, and they have five children, all of which have a totally different halachic status. Chomesh umois sounds almost like one is an Egyptian, and one's going to be a French, and one's a German, one's a Greek. No, that's not what we mean. You'll see in the Gemara shortly what we mean is that one is going to be Ayid, and one will be a mamzer, and one will be an eved, will be a goy. Mention we'll see in a moment. So five people of five different halachic status. Kesa. Yisrael shalokach eved v'shifcha minashuk. Ayid went and bought an eved v'shifcha minashuk. Now what it says minashuk, what we really mean to say is he bought it from a goy. And since he bought it from a goy, the eved v'shifcha are really, the language of the Gemara is somewhat imprecise. Because although these two were slaves until now, halachically, they just have a status of goyim, a Gentile man and a Gentile woman. The reason for that is because an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananis really only get their status of Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis after the Yid buys them, after they go and toivel, and the case of the Eved after he has a Prismila, and they become Ashtikula Yid. They don't become full-fledged Yidin, they become like Yidin B'mitzas. Why is that? Because the Eved Kanani only has mitzvahs ke'isha. He doesn't have all the mitzvahs ke'ish. How do we know? Lo la mitzvah. Good. Lo la mitzvah. Anyway, so bottom line is that this time he's just buying a Gentile man, a Gentile lady. Both of them, it's not true, were slaves until now. But they're not Eved v'shifcha in the classical Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis sense. Lahem shnei banim. When the Yisrael bought it, he bought a package deal, the father and mother together with the two kids. And the two kids were also goyim. Now, v'nizkair echad mehem. One of the two boys now met his brand new odoy, his brand new master. He says, wow, what a nice guy. I'd like to be a Jew just like him. And he became a ger. Anything wrong with that? No.
Well, he had to be freed.
Right, exactly, because he was the child of
the odoy agreed to go and free him to become a nizkair. You're 100% right. He didn't do it on his own. They worked it out.
Yeah, all of them himself. Odo, he had to work around.
Yeah, no, the whole geshef. But the bottom line, he became a ger. Fine. Nimtza, so at this point, going back to the original Eved v'Shifcha, which the Gemara initially called Ish v'Isha, they now have two sons. One happens to be a Ger Jewish, and one is Avichon, like he was until now. At this point, the Jew says to the Ish v'Isha, meaning the Eved v'Shifcha, I want you to become an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananis, respectively. And he toivled them in the mikvah, l'shem avdus. And now he and she become Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis. And once again, they lived with each other. After all, they lived with each other previously to produce the two boys. So they lived with each other once again. And what did they produce? A son. And that son is now going to be a classic Eved, born to his Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis. Hari Khan, so at this point, we have now three kids. We have a Ger, that's the first guy that was the guy. The Eved Kachovim, that's the one out of the two that was there originally, that was a goy, and we have now the new Eved, so we got three. Shirchar is the Shivcha. Now the Odin decides to go and be Mishachar to free the Shivcha. And what happens now? She becomes now a Giyaris, and she's now a full-fledged Yidna. Nevertheless, the Eved that had been married to her for the last 5, 10, 20 years was not happy with the decision. Ubulea Eved, and the Eved says, you could be Jewish, I could care less, I'm going to live with you. And now what happens? The child that's going to be born And you remember we've had this recurring theme a few times in Amisachter. Then Oyvi Kachovim, the Ebed Habo Avas Yisrael, Avlad Mamzer. We don't pass him that way. It's a machloit. But we've had that a number of times. Exactly. And that's what we're going to have over here. It was on Daf Mem Hei, and it was also Daf Zayin Amid Beis. But you can look it up. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara. So our Gemara says over here, Ubo Oleho Ebed, and now they produced a Mamzer, Harikan Ger, the Ebed Kachovim, the Ebed, and a Mamzer. Why? Because he had an Eved Habo Al Bas Yisrael. Finally, Shichr Shneim. Now the Odin was Meshachr, the other one. He doesn't have Meshachr both, because the Shifra is already here. He's Meshachr and now the Eved. So now the Eved becomes a full-fledged Ger. So I have now a Ger and a Geiris. DC and Zelazer, now they had holy matrimony, Chuppah V'Kiddushin. And again, they produced a child. That child is going to be a full-fledged Yisrael, because both parents are full-fledged Ger and Giyoris, respectively. Harikan Ger, V'yoyvi Kechom, V'yevet, Umamzer, Yisrael. Beautiful. So those are the five Umays that the Gemara was referring to. Frank Gemara, Micah Mashman. Okay, this is very Gishmaka, very interesting, but what's the Chidush? Oh, the Chidush is coming. By the way, Yisrael, Havlad, Mamzer, not like we hold. We normally hold that if a Goy marries a Bas Yisrael, or an Eved marries a Bas Yisrael, then the child, although the child has a blemish in his or her neshama, but nevertheless they happen to be fully Jewish. We unfortunately have many cases of that today, where you have a Jewish girl that marries a non-Jewish man, or vice versa. But when the Jewish girl marries a non-Jewish man, they have a child. The child is a full-fledged Jew. Again, pogum, but not a mamzer. But this mandiyama holds it as a mamzer, and that's how you have all five. Because if you had hold, it would be normal, and you wouldn't have five umays, you'd only have four umays. So to illustrate this, we had to have, according to that man, the Amma of Lanos.
This is Rabbi Meir.
This is... it's not Rabbi Meir.
The pogum is for the...
clean the pogum?
Have you cleaned the pogum? The person learns a lot of Torah, does a lot of mitzvahs, so that cleans the neshama. There's a tshuva of Zoynish, where a bocher, either was a bocher or a girl, that was born to parents that initially were secular and were not makpid on taras hamishpacha. Therefore, the wife did not go to the mikveh, and they had a child. And then later on, after many years, they all became bali tshuva, and fine. So now this girl with this boy is now a wonderful ventoira, bas toira, and they want to go and find the shidduch, and people say, pogum, after all, born without the benefit of mikveh. So Chazanish said, I think it was about the boy, if I'm not mistaken. Chazanish said that that boy was had a reputation as being one of the best bochum in yeshiva, being a real masmid, learning shtark, and being a bal toiva, bal chesed, all the rest. So he said that that learning of the Torah, that in itself cleansed the neshama, took away the pagam, and therefore you can take the shidduch l'chachila without any hesitation. Anyway, on to the next Gemara, Tanur Bar. You could have a very strange situation where a person is selling his own father to be able to go and pay off the ksuva for his mother. How could that be? It's not a difficult case. Ketzad, Yisrael lokach eved v'shifcha min hashuk. A Yisrael who bought an eved v'shifcha from the outside. Lehem benem, they happen to have a son. So he bought three, a package deal, eved v'shifcha and a son. B'shichra es ha-shifcha, he says, this shifcha looks like she's a lovely young lady, and he was mishachra, he emancipated, he freed her, and now she becomes a giyaris, v'nasa. So the odoin, original owner, now has taken the shifcha, has the mishachra, giyaris, and he marries her. Anything wrong with that? No. Now, the shifcha says to the owner, former shifcha, she's not a giyaris, she says, but I have a son from my marriage to the Eved, and he's very beloved to me. What I would like you to do is, and he agreed, the Omed Vekosav Kol Nechosav Libna. Since apparently Odin had no children, she, however, had a child. So he said, I don't mind. After Lachamei Ve'esrim, all of my Nechosav, all of my possessions, my whole estate will go to your son, the son who is the Eved.
But he's not yet a Jew, the son?
He's not yet a Jew. He may never become a Jew.
So can a Jewish person leave his property to a non-Jew?
No problem whatsoever.
Okay.
The Torah gives you, of course, specific instructions as to who what you're supposed to do, but that's in the absence of a tzavah. In the tzavah, you can go and give like a shtar matana to anybody that you want. If a person doesn't like his children, he can go and give all the money away to the government, or to the inhumane society, or for his, or for his dog, or whatever you want.
ASPCA,
exactly. Anyway, so this person gave all of his nechasim l'bnah to her son. What do you think eventually happened? He passed away. We didn't say that she poisoned him. He passed away eventually. Okay, now she's entitled to go and collect her ksuba. Her ksuba was l'mashal $1 million, just to take an example. And now we have to get that $1 million from somewhere. Oh, one of the pieces of property that the husband owned was the eved. Eved meaning the former husband, if you will, of that shivcha. That was among his whole estate. And now, who is the guard, who's the executor of the estate? The son of the eved v'shivcha, the son of the wife that became the giyoris, and to go and collect $1 million, they're missing $5,000. We got $995,000. His father, however, the eved, is worth $5,000. So he can go and sell his father in the marketplace for $5,000, take that $5,000, give it to mommy, and now mommy will have her whole suit. So that's what our Gemara is saying. Yishmoichas Ovid, you could have such a very fascinating case of the eved's son who is selling his father the eved, lahavis imoik suvasa, to be able to go and pay the whole suba to his mother. They had an existing son, a goy, an eved. He was mishachar the mother, the shifcha, and he married Giyaris. And gave his whole estate to the man. Wait, we have now the situation is that after he dies, and she wants to collect the whole ksuba, to collect the whole $1 million is not enough unless you also go and sell the father the eved, and that's what he did. He sold his father to go and get his mommy the entire ksuba.
Doesn't the wife when he writes all his possessions to this eved,
to the benah,
stepson, yes. To the stepson, mm-hmm. and then he dies, mm-hmm. Since he doesn't have a son himself, mm-hmm. doesn't that money transfer to his wife? In the absence of any other, because she owns her own son as property, not right? She owns her son as property.
Okay.
So doesn't that property, including the son, and including the former husband, the father of her son, don't they belong to her already?
She's saying that she can go and sell her
no, no, she doesn't need to collect your ksuba. I mean, the estate falls to her anyway, as it were, because the estate doesn't, the possessions don't transfer to the stepson / eved.
And yet, when we learn the steps of Bava Basra, Yesh Noichlin, we're going to go and learn to be able to do anything that you want with your estate and disinherit your normal, regular children. What you can do is write a shtar matana that should be chal 5 minutes before a person's passing.
Right.
He wrote a shtar matana that 5 minutes before I pass away, all my nechasim should go to your son, meaning
his stepson, the son of his wife.
Of this.
But does he have to? In this scenario, would he have to free his stepson in order for him to be able 5 minutes before his passing?
You're getting into another one. Martin says in the beginning, what happens if you give all of your nechassim to your eved, and the eved is part of the nechassim?
Right.
Would he automatically become free? Be like a gift of the yodei boin kachas type of thing.
Okay. So, I'll wait to
give. So, yes, sir.
So a father could decide if he has sons, I didn't get along with them, I'm not leaving them anything. What happened to the before? Double. And
that's all if he didn't go and give. What happens if today you have a son, a father, who has like three sons, he can't stand any of them. They're all a bunch of no-goodniks.
Right.
He just said, I don't want to wait until after 120. I give away everything that I own now to Mr. Smith and to Mr. Jones and Mr. McCarthy. You know, is he allowed to do that? Can you give away all of your wealth to people that you know or that you don't know?
Sure.
Yeah. That means you're going to leave yourself with nothing. Okay, here. There are people that do silly things in life. So, and he'll leave his children with nothing. Okay, you can do that. So instead of giving it all away now, he writes me'akshav, or 5 minutes before I pass away. He writes in the shtar that it shouldn't be chal now, it shouldn't be effective now, but Yet Hashem, I hope to live to 120. Said 119, 364 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes, and 15 seconds. At that time, I went want my entire estate to go to Smith, or in this case to the Eved, or to the right to the son of his wife, and not to his own children.
But if he does decide to leave it to his children, he has to give the eldest double?
Again, if you don't have a shtar, with a shtar, with a tzavah, with a written will, you can go and play with these things. However, it's not easy yes or no. For these things, you have to go under the guidance of competent rabbanim who understand these things very well. You're right. Otherwise, the trader says you have to give two to the b'chor. Everybody else only one. What happens if you have a daughter? Almost everybody wants to leave Yerusha for his daughter. The trader says if you have sons, it doesn't go to the daughter. For that, it has to be done under the aegis and auspices of respected rabbanim that know they do. Anyway, or lawyers that know they do. Yes?
What's the person, Yachid Rasha, Yachid Rasha, Yabash Sadi?
Yes, there's a person right there. I don't remember exactly what you're right.
Yeah, but there he says, if it ends up, you can give some of your chasm can end up to the Sadi.
If he wasn't happy with the son and the daughter, but they gave birth to an Einikov. Okay, Mitzvah, we'll get to that. Getting back to our Gemara now. So Zoki Gemara, this story was a fascinating story that he went to marry the Shivcha, who became Jewish, and that they had a child. Alts is good. Right? Gemara, Maika Mashmon, what is the Chiddush of our Nebuchadnezzar to open up?
Yeah, I didn't even come here. I left the farm. The tea bags still good, though.
Yeah.
I poured it in here thinking Hunger was coming.
Exactly. Welcome aboard. So what's the chiddush of this price? We know that, although it says in the ksuba, if you listen very carefully to the rabbi that is rattling off the ksuba under the chuppah, you'll notice that he says that all of my nechasim are achroim. Achroim means they are collateral for this ksuba. The question is, when we say all my nechasim, does that only include real property? Does it also include metalklin? You're wondering why are we discriminating against the metalklin? Because when it comes to real property, it's here today, it's here in 100 years from now, it'll be here for 1,000 years from now. Nobody can steal a piece of... You can go and demolish a building. That's true. You can't go and take away the karka, the lot. Because that lot will always be there forever. Metalklin is easy come, easy go. I have a beautiful gold watch. I lose it, it falls down the sewer, and no longer. It could be stolen. I could sell it. So it's here today, but it might not be here tomorrow. So the question is, do nechosim, when you are meshabit, only nechosim, does it include metalklin, or does it only include karka? That's issue number one. Issue number two is, what's the status of an eved? Eved, in a sense, is like metalklin. It's here today, he may be gone tomorrow. However, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Es nachaltem oisam levneichem achreichem lachuza." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can take your Eved Kanani and leave it for your children as an Achuza. That word Achuza sounds like a Ste Achuza. Ste Achuza is a Karka. So the Gemara says that Eved Iskish the Karka, or Avodim Iskishu the Karkois, that Avodim are considered to be Karka for many purposes. So now the question is, this Eved over here, says the Gemara, we have now two versions, Maika Mashma. Either that this price is Rameh, Kuler Mehi, the Avda Metalkali, Eved has a status like Metalkalin, and Metalkalin Mishtabdi Lekzuba. And just like Rameh holds, Metalkalin on Mishuba Lekzuba, the Eved is like Metalkalin, and he's also Mishuba Lekzuba. The Yibay Yisei Meno, Alkamashman, Avda Kimakoy Dami, then Eved is considered to be like a Shtik Karka, and just like Karka, everybody agrees Mishuba Lekzuba, and Eved is also Mishuba Lekzuba.
I see the second, the Yibayisim, what's the evidence that the Eved is metaltali and from this?
If you want to look at the Toysis, Mari Remeir, which is parallel to here, this is smart to say they should have a status like metaltali. Please, Samcha Daita Ilavai, Lefi Shemesin Ubarchim. It's good that halachically an Eved has a status like Karka, Shkoyach. However, when it comes to collateral, you're thinking, is this permanent collateral? Or is this collateral which is temporary, which is in today, out tomorrow? Since an Eved, unfortunately, Mason, all Avodim die eventually, just like all Bnei Adam, Ubarchim, and some of them flee. So then the question is, does it have the status like karka? Well, so you tell me, so where does it have the status like karka? For instance, to go make a kinyan, just like you go and be koine a kinyan on a piece of karka with kesem and shtar, as well as with chazaka, you can do the same thing with an eved. Of course, there's going to be a different type of chazaka for a field than for an eved. Chazaka of a field, you'd be no good or poratz koshu. You work, you till the soil. And rabbi eved, you have to go and bring your begodim to the mikvah, take it away, or help you dress. One of those things, mentioned we'll learn in the beginning of Masechtas Kedushin when we get into kinyan. But the gabe person who wants to be say mechtas, first, lashon holds, who thinks of an eved as being permanent collateral? Eved is here today, out tomorrow. He could be sold, he could die, he could flee. So it's like metaltel. So then, how is the ben being goyva from that eved? Because he holds a metaltel, he mishtap and looks. Dr. Mishnah.
When it says, lakach eved v'shuchem in the shuk, the ben, it should be explained that ben is not an eved. The ben is a shuker.
Why? Who says that?
Well, because otherwise, how does he get the property? He has to be here.
How do you get the property of the shifka?
Pardon?
He bought the eved v'shivka and the ben from the.
But then.
From the.
Yeah, seller. But then he had. The ben eventually had to be free.
Why the ben had
to be free? Because he was. How is he the recipient?
That was my question.
You can't give away all of your property to a goy?
To an eved.
So you can't give it to an eved?
Much kind of eved, kind of rock.
Ah, so then it's going to come back.
Right.
But he's already dead.
Right.
So you're going to say, so maybe the eved become free as a result because he now has all nechassim, including himself. So that's the Gemara been getting a mesechtas gittin miyat Hashem. We're going to learn that if you go and give only nechassim to your eved, including the eved, so then he should become free. Get to the other one kecher. Okay, miyat Hashem. When we get there, on to the next mission.
Rabbi Archgrove.
It was Rabbi Archgrove.
The Jew signed over to Teresit, the woman's son, who was still an idolater, but a free man nonetheless.
Oh, okay. So then you don't have the problem of being eved. He's a free man idolater.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. That shot is also, that works great. He probably doesn't want to get into this question that you were posing. Thank you. Zuk the Mishnah. A woman whose Vlad got mixed in with a Vlad Kalosa. Kalosa means her daughter-in-law. So what we have a situation is both a young lady together with her daughter-in-law, both of them are pregnant at the same time, which today is not so infrequent, especially among the Hasidim. Sometimes you go to a chasana and you hear from your wife that, or from a young lady that was watching what was going on, and says, did you notice that the mother that was walking the chasid or the kala down to the chuppah, that she was visibly pregnant? So these things happen. So what do you have over here? So you have a woman that is pregnant, and her daughter-in-law is pregnant, and they're both pregnant at the same time. And they both give birth at the same time in the machba. One of them is her daughter, and one of them is the granddaughter. Right? I'm sorry, I said daughter and granddaughter. It's really son and grandson. Her son, the Vlad Kalosa, with the son of her daughter-in-law. So now she has a new son and a new grandson. Both of them had a beautiful bris, and they had the balloons, and they had a as our merry-go-round with the trains going up and down. It was really gorgeous. Hidgivaturus. Eventually, these two young men got older, and the Nasunash, and they gave birth, Baruch Hashem. Now, what we didn't say until now, in other words, the Mishnah didn't tell us until now, was that the original lady who had the daughter-in-law, the Mishnah is going to call her shortly the Zekena, that she is Zekena, of course, means
relative.
In this case, Zekena doesn't mean the older. Here it means the Sapta, the grandmother. So the grandmother had other sons, and the Kala, the daughter-in-law, also had other sons. So both the new child that was born to her, born to the Sapta, had brothers, as well as the grandson that was born to the Kala also had brothers. Fine. What happened now? Zok gets the Mishnah. The Nosunoshin, these two, the Svekis, the son of the grandmother and the grandson of the grandmother, both married women, wherever, whichever women, for Mason, they both passed away. So now, these two, and there were, of course, there were no children, unfortunately. So now these two women fall now to Yibam. Who do they fall to Yibam to? They fall to the brother or brothers of the Vlad, of Vlada, of the grandmother, the grandmother's son, as well as they fall Yibam to the brothers of the son of the Kala. and I don't know which one is which. So what do we do? B'nei HaKala Chotzim Le Miyam. The B'nei HaKala, meaning the other sons of the Kala, maybe there was only one. The Mishnah refers to B'nei HaKala. Chotzim Le Miyam, they have to do Chalitza to both of the women, because one of them happens to be their sister-in-law, but they can't be Miyam. Why should Sofik Eishes Achiv Seif Sofik Eishes Achi Aviv? This young lady that is forming the even to them might be their sister-in-law, but it might also be their aunt. Why might it be their aunt? Because maybe this young lady was married to their uncle. If you think about it, all of the sons of the Sabta, of the Zekena, like the Gemara of the Mishnah refers to it, are all uncles of the children of the Kala. How did they... The Kala was married to another son of Sabta. Sabta had a couple of sons. One of them married this Kala, a nameless young lady. They had a child, multiple children. All of those children are nephews, and perhaps even nieces, of the children of the original Sabta. Right? That's all pretty straightforward. So that being the case, they cannot be Miyabim. Because if one of them is going to be Miyabim, one of the two ladies, guess what happens? They might be going and marrying their aunt, which of course is an erva, and that's prohibited. On the other hand, the Bnei Askena, those that are the children of the Sabta, of the grandmother, so Ol Chotzim Ay Miyabim, they can do either a Chalitza or a Yibam. Shesafik Eishes Ochiv, the Eishes Ben Ochiv. Because what's the suffix vis-a-vis them? Again, a sister-in-law, or maybe a niece. Well, no problem with an uncle Manganese. We had that already earlier today. So that's fine. The Mishnah is going to say, the Gemara is going to tell us, make sure to do a Chalitza first and a Yibam second, because if you're going to allow for Yibam first, they might go and marry a Yevama Lishuk, because it might not be his Yevama, it might be the other one's Yevama. So to be on the safe side, one give a Chalitza, the other give a Yibam, and Shalom Aishu. Meisu, okay, so that was where the Meisu HaTarubis. Here, what happens with the other way around? Meisu HaKshedus. The word Ksheder, the Gemara is going to tell us, is a little imprecise. Of course, it's not that the Tarubis are Chas V'Shalom Psulim. Here, Meisu HaKshedus means Meisu HaVadoim. In other words, the Vadoim went and married ladies. And they passed away. The Vadoim passed away. So now the Tarubis has to go and give now the Chalitzor Yibam. And it's going to be the same thing as before, but in reverse. That is, the Bnei Haskena, the Vadai that was a child of the Zekena, what are they going to have to do? The Teruvis is going to have to be Chotz V'Lemiyah. They cannot possibly do Yibam, Shusafik Eishas Achim, the Eishas Achi Ovid. Because once again, the young lady who's Nebuch now a widow, the Yavama, this might be their sister-in-law, which would be fine, but also might be their aunt. And therefore, can go and do Yibam. Because remember, we're talking about the one that this widow that we're worried about is the Vadai of the Bnei Haskena. That happens to be vis-a-vis the Teruvis, one of the Teruvis at least. That's his uncle, and therefore his wife, that is now the widow, the Yavama, that's his aunt. He doesn't know which one. So he's not allowed to go and be Miyavim. Maximum he can do is he can do Chalitza. On the other hand, the Bnei HaKala, the Vadai that passed away from the Kala's home, now we know for sure that his wife maximum is a niece of one of these two Taruvasin. One can do Chalitza, subsequently the other one do Yivam. You don't want to do Yivam immediately because it might be Yivam of the Shuk, and then it would be permissible because maximum what's happening, he's marrying his niece, or he might be just marrying this his sister-in-law, which either one is fine. We're talking about a sister-in-law of a Makkah Mitzvah, so either sister-in-law or his niece, either way it works fine. Okay, from here on, Baruch Hashem, we now get onto much easier territory. Kohenes, the word Kohenes over here really means an Eishes Kohen. She gave birth, and her Shivcha gave birth at the same time. Now the Shivcha son is a regular Eved. However, as we've learned many times before, it said in the passage, Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kasboi hu yoichel boi, that both the wife as well as the avodim of the Kohen go and eat truma. Can you imagine? This happens to be an Eved Kanani or a Shivcha Kanani. It makes no difference. It belongs to the Kohen. They're allowed to eat truma. So you have now the Eishes Kohen, Shinisar V'Lodr, her son who was born, and Vlad Shivchasa, the Shivcha's son, was born, both born together in the same Machpe, and there was confusion. And now they are growing older. We don't know which one happens to be a Kohen and which one happens to be the Eved. Both of them are allowed to eat truma. That's no problem. V'chol ken chilek echad begoyim. Since only one of them is entitled to receive truma, they go and receive one chilek together in the garden when they go to the granary. Mar is going to explain this in greater detail. What does that mean? The gate chilek echad begoyim. Reb Simcha, we're just starting the Amid base. Tzadik Tes Amid base 99b top word top line. Because each one of them happens to be a Suffolk coin, made him a Tamil Mesa. We won't allow either one to attend a funeral, because we don't want to, or at least get next to the mess, because a coin is not allowed to be a Tamil Nefesh, as we know. These two young men, when they get older, will not be able to marry anybody. They cannot go and marry Ksherois, because one of them is an Eved. They cannot marry Shvachois Psulois because one of them is a Koyan.
So, is it like a Chatzi Ben Chorin, Chatzi Eved? Do we, the Bezin Kofin? Because it's
we're not finished yet. In their present status, where they are, can they marry Ksheiros and Psulois?
No.
Higdilu HaTaruvis V'Shichru Zeze. What happens? They said, we both cannot get married. This is not our life. We want to have a wife, so each one with Meshachar the other. Of course, only one of them needed Shichrur, but we don't know which one. So each one gave a get Shichrur to the other, saying, if I happen to be the other and you happen to be my Eved, I'm Meshachar you. If you happen to be the other and I'm your Eved, you're Meshachar me. Oh, that's very straightforward. And from this point on, Noisim Noshim Ru'uyas Nakuna. They can only marry those women that a Kohen can marry, because one of them is a real Kohen, one of them is a Ger, because he's an Eved Meshachar, a Ger. So who can go and marry? So since we have a Koyin, neither of the two can go and marry a Grusha, neither of the two be able to marry a Chalutza, a Zoyna, Chalala, so on and so forth, because of the case, each one is a Safi Koyin. And Bein Mitam and Mason, neither can Mitam. One is a Koyin and one is a Safi Koyin, one is a, yeah, I don't know which one. The Nitmu, however, they do become Tamil, Ein and Seifko Arboy. If they go and willingly go in a Mitam of the Mass, they shouldn't. We cannot give them Malkus. Why can't we give them Malkus? Because it would be Asura Sophic. Because each one of them, we say, don't do it, you're a coin. Who says I'm a coin? I give them not a coin. You're right. It's Asura Sophic with Rav Shmuasa. At this point, they lose the benefit. They have the benefit now being able to get married. They can't eat Truma anymore because one of them is an Evan Meshuchar, just a regular Ger. Ger can't eat the Truma. The Malkhlu, and if they did eat, Bishoyin Geg, a Mishalim Karen Bechoyimish. Why don't they have to take
care of it?
Exactly. One says, I'm a Kohen, and therefore I'm allowed to eat it. Prove otherwise. Now, when they go to the garden to go and collect truma from somebody else, the balabas can go and say, you are now the Moitzi Mechaber, you want to get truma, prove that you're a Kohen.
Right.
If you can't prove that you're a Kohen, I can't give you, it might be a Ger.
Can't they collect the Bishufas?
And what are they going to do with it?
They can sell it to a child.
That's the next case. What they could do is, Rashi says, instead of taking Meshuvahs, what happens if they go and own each one of them, or either one of them owns a field, and they're farmers, and they grow crops, and now it's time to go and give Truma to the Kohen. Instead of giving Truma to the Kohen, they can keep it for themselves, because they'll say, prove that I'm not a Kohen. Any Kohen that comes knocking on the door, hey, give me my Truma. I'm taking it for myself. You're not a Kohen. Prove that I'm not a Kohen. I happen to be the Muchzik. I'm going to hold on to it. But of course he's not allowed to go and eat it because he might be just a Yisrael, just a Ger. So what does he do? He can go and sell it to the Kahana. But Dami Shalel, he can go and keep the money. They cannot go and get any of the Kachi Migdash, meaning the Kachi Kudishim. Rashi gives an example. Oyre's Kudishim, they won't get the oil. And for that matter, if he goes to the Vesa Migdash and he says, I'd like a piece of Chatzas meat, a piece of Asher meat, prove to me you're a Kohen. It's only Mutal Zichrei Kahuna. Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi prefers the second pshat, that what means don't give them kachim. If you happen to own animals and you have a bechor among your animals, and the bechor you have to give to the kohen, you can go and give them that bechor. You do not give them a bechor. Same thing is if you made a chirim lekahanim. You go and say, I am machrim this chirim lekahanim. Don't give it to them because they might not be a kohen. However, what happens if you gave it to them, or if they grabbed it? They might seem shalem. You can't go and take it. You can't take it away from them, especially if they have their own bechor or their own chermikan. Can't take away because it might be a variety. Maybe he's a kohen. So don't give it to him. But if he has, can't take it away. That is talking about chulin. It's not noheg bezman hazeh. However, in the times of the Torah, a person went and shechted an animal chulin, regular chulin animal. He had to go and give three matonis to the kohen. He's part of him giving they are potter from giving to the Rebbe Keva because they may be Kohanim themselves, and therefore prove otherwise so they can keep it for themselves. And that's something which is Nechal Lizar, it's not, you don't have to go and sell it, anybody can go and eat. Before we said, if he has his own Bechar, what does he do with it? He doesn't have to give it away because he says, I'm a Kohen. But he cannot go and bring it in the Beis Midrash as a carbon because that Bechor is only Ne'achal Le'Kohanim. And he might not be a Kohen. So you know what you do? You have to wait until it becomes, gets a Mum. Then you can go and sell it as Chulin. And the Chulin of the Bechor, the Bechor Bal Mum, when you sell it, when you're shechting outside the Beis Midrash, that's Ne'achal to even to a Zor. So then they can even eat it themselves. The Nois Olav, and we place upon, it's really the Nois Aleihem, Chumri Kahanim the Chumri Yisraelim. The Chumris of Kahanim and Yisraelim, what does that mean? Says Rashi, the Gemara Mefarish, we'll talk about what, on Mefarish Gemara, what Chumris are left. We've gone through all the Chumris already. Merchim, we'll see. What means Chumri Yisrael? We'll see. Okay, so the Gemara, yeah, it's Mesuach Kshedim. It says in the Mishnah that if the Kshedim passed away, and now the Teruvis didn't have to go and give the Yibam or Chalitza. Frank Timura, the term Ksheinim L'Chayr is inappropriate.
Right.
Just because the other two got mixed up, you say that they are Psulim, Chas V'Shalom, they're just Teruvis. Amra Papa Eimel Meisa Abadon. That could change the Mishnah or read into it. Ksheinim means Abadon that we know for sure. Okay. The Mishnah, make sure the Chalitza comes first and after the Yibum. There's a good possibility that it's going to be Miyabim, one of the two. It might be his Yivama, but it might not be his Yivama, it might be somebody else's Yivama. Somebody else's Yivama, Yivama Lishuk, give the Chalitza first, as we know. Okay. It says in the Mishnah, if you have a Kohenish in the Sa'ar of the Vlad, then they go and get Chalik Echad Begarim. Chalik Echad Begarim. See, this machlok is Rashi Toises what the girsa is. Our girsa is like Toises girsa. Chelik echad pshita. If you look at the Toises down below, first of the Toises down below, chelik echad pshita. Pirish pshita. Shein lehem ala chelik. Of course, I'm only going to get chelik echad. I have no mitzvah of giving truma to an eved kohen, even though an eved kohen is allowed to go and eat. But there's no mitzvah of giving truma to him. Give truma to the kohen. So of course, if one happens to be a kohen and one happens to be an eved of a kohen, give him chelik echad in that double portion. That's how Toises learned. Rashi is a slightly different person. Anyway, Eima Zotimor, you're right. Eima chelik ki echad. What means chelik ki echad? Rashi says you're only going to give them if they both come together as one. If either one comes on his own, even though both of them are entitled to eat, and if I want to give, I can give them. However, they should only come together. Why should they only come together? This goes according to Mandi Yama. We're going to have a machlokes now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, in the following braisa. Are you allowed to go and give truma to an eved? For instance, I happen to have a farm, and I have truma. My next door neighbor is a kohen. I know that he has avodim, and I recognize his eved because his eved comes by every day. A very friendly fellow. How you doing, Johnny? Oh, how you, what's the news? What you hear? What's going on in Ukraine? What's going on with the Knicks? A friendly eved. Okay, goes according to Mandi Yama. Ain chokat truma the eved. Don't give truma to the eved. Alim kein rabbi ima unless his master is together with him. What's the reason why? We'll see in a moment. The sign. You have a price. The Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda says ain chokat truma the eved. Alim kein rabbi ima idiv Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so our Mishnah stems like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it says give mechelik ki echad only when the two are coming together as one. Rabbi Yosi ima yachoshi ima. The eved can go and say lemanavsha im koyin ani if I'm a koyin. Bishul asked me, "Give me every koyin I need." Bishul Rabbi, Rabbi, you don't have the chiyuv to give me echad to an eved, but I'll give it to my master. You know I'm very good. Sure, I know you. I know your master. Sure, no problem. Says Rabbi Yosi, can give him for either reason, so they do not have to come together. Contribute that you cannot give the bnei haturuvis either one individually. Ain chol kin truma the eved kin Rabbi. You might ask to be together with the Rabbi. Contribute Yosi, no problem. Give either one. Said Yimura, what's the reason for it? When you ever had a shayla the gabi yichus, whether this young man is a koyin or not, right? You have another mishpucha that says, I only want to marry a koyin, and we want to make sure he's a koyin. So somebody will testify in court, two people testify in court. I know he's a koyin. How do I know he's a koyin? Because I remember constantly, over years and years and years, he was always taking truma from the local farmers. So I know for sure he's a koyin. Hamutzav Zayin. Ah, maybe it was an eved. Says Rabbi Yehuda, to prevent that from occurring, if it's not an Eved, Eved cannot get Truma on its own. His rabbi has to be together with him to go and show everybody as Nishka Kohen. He's the Eved of a Kohen. Why? Because in Rabbi Yehuda's area, in his Malkam, people would testify that they gave Truma to this fellow. And therefore he must be a Kohen. Musach Zayin, that if he's an Eved Kohen, he can only go with his rabbi. Then Mokayim Yishar Rabbi Yehuda, the other way around. Lo Yehoyim Malmi Truma Liyachsev. Just the fact that somebody received Truma, we wouldn't say, oh, as a Kohen. He's an Eved Kohen. Is the Haraya that they would come individually as an Eved. And he would say, either I'm the Kohen, give it to me because I'm a Kohen, or give it to me for Rabbi. No problem, because nobody's going to testify based on that lone example that he happens to be a Kohen anyway. So our Mishnah that insists that both of them come together is like Rabbi Yehuda. Or it tells us a story. Tanya Belodrub Tzadik, Miyomai Lihadati, Ella Edis Echad, Hello, Eved Kahuna Alpi. From Miyomai, meaning from my days of my childhood, Lihadati, I was never an aid in a Besdin, except one time. And that one time, I almost blew it, as you see me my Edis Echad, Hello, Eved Kahuna Alpi. Based on my Edis, they took an Eved and they were Malim Lakuna. As we'll see the facts in a moment. Is it possible that Taka, he made such an egregious mistake that he had such terrible outcome that an Eved became known as a Kohen and presumably married a Bas Kohen or Yisrael or something like that? Is that possible? That's a famous story with the famous Pinchas Ben Yair and the whole business. Is that Tzadik and Matzman, Kodesh Baruch Hu should allow that to happen? Rather, they wanted to. It didn't happen, Baruch Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu prevented this catastrophe, but they wanted to. Now, what were the facts? Says he went very simply. Chaz, this of Lod Ben Tzadik, he was for Shabbos or whatever for a week on vacation. Ba'asrei to Rabbi Yosi, in the place of Rabbi Yosi. Now remember, what's the story in the place of Rabbi Yosi?
We're not Ma'ala Eved Lekumah.
And more importantly, did they give an Eved on his own, or Dafka was a rabbi?
Without.
So he came into Bezdin and he said, I solemnly testify that I saw this gentleman over here in the courtroom. Yes, he came on his own and they gave him Truma. Beautiful. Now, if this would be in a courthouse in the Yosi's jurisdiction,
no problem.
No, it makes no difference. Okay.
They know.
He could. That doesn't show anything,
right,
the fact,
right,
that he came on his own. However, the also asked by Asr Yehuda, the court, the Bezdin was sitting in Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
And in Rabbi Yehuda, if somebody came on his own, that's a ride that he happens to be a Kohen. Why? Because otherwise, ain't Cholkin Truma the Eved, okay, Rabbi Iman. So as a result of these two facts, what happened was, says the Bezdin, I'm telling, we almost goofed because I saw this in place of Yosi where they allowed the Eved to go on his own. And I testified in the courthouse of Rabbi Yehuda that I saw a guy going on, oh, he's going on his own, he must be a Kohen. Because over here we wouldn't allow him to go on his own if he was an Eved. But it's not a Kohen, so they want to Malim Lekuna. Well, Baruch Hashem, at the last moment, somebody came in and said, you're making a big boo-boo, he's an Eved. So that's the end of the story. Yeah, that's a famous Gemara that says, once we have a YouTube that shows that there was a Kohen that was doing the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to ask any more questions. You know for sure that he's a Kohen. Why do you know for sure? Because there was a Bezdin in the Azara, in the Lishkas of the Gozes, and their one task was, or maybe multiple tasks, but one of the tasks was to go and check on the qualifications or disqualifications of the Kohen. So any Kohen that came in, they would say, show us your papers, prove that you have a Kohen, then you can do the Avoid. So once you have a Kohen that was passed by that Bezdin, that was a Supreme Court, you know, this guy is for sure a Kohen. You don't have to ask any more questions. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit difficult because it says in our Gemara, "Hatu em shel tzadikim kedvoch meiv takala tzadikim matz only koshkein," which sounds like a tzadik can never do a chet, because if a kedvoch doesn't allow the behemoth to do a chet, he doesn't allow a tzadik to do a chet. After all, ain't tzadik baritz sheyas tevil yechda. Everybody does a shogeg. Even the greatest tzadik did the shogeg. Didn't do it purposely. So the Gemara on the surface is a little bit shvah. In fact, there are numerous toises throughout Shas where toises always says that this rule is only by midi de achil. Just like by the behema of Pinchas Ben Yoyer, we find in the Gemara that the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't allow the behema to go and eat from Tevel or from something that didn't belong to his Ozein, right? If he gave too much money or whatever it was. the behema would not eat from it, because the behema didn't want to steal menagezel, didn't want to go and eat tevel, didn't want to eat traces. The Kodesh Baruch Hu won't allow for an emesik tzadik to go and eat anything which is not absolutely kosher. But that doesn't take away from the possibility that the tzadik might do another chet. And here we're not talking about eating, here we're talking about in general. So because of that, the Tosis down below takes out this whole list two lines. You look at the Tosis, so good I tachashta, hemshus what tzadikim, near the legacy in the lake, take this whole thing out. If you want to see more about it, see the asterisk says on the right hand margin, find hetiv toises in Shabbos and toises in Psochim and toises in Gittin and toises in Chulin. There are several toises that all make that same point, that this vort of Einikud Baruch Hu Yitrog Yonim is only the meaning of Achila, therefore that's inappropriate here in Agama. Okay, right, turn around, very simple, right. There are 10 categories of people that we do not give them truma in the granaries. Who are those? Anyway, Chayyim Shoyt Vakotten, Tum Tumad Reganis, that's 35. Eved Ve'isha is 7. Oral Hatomi Noisa Isha Shein Agenis Loi is 10 altogether. I think Moses is going to explain each one. The Kul Mishagdom Lehen Lubateim, although we don't have the, we don't allow the person to take truma in the Beis HaGranois, but we will send it special delivery to their homes. In other words, they cannot go and take it from us, but when they come on the scene, I can't give you, but I'm going to send you with a messenger later in the day. That you're allowed to do. We'll see why. Chutz, except for Tommy, the Noisa Isha Shein. Again, it's like that we don't even send it to their house. Start again. Bishlam Cheshit Vekot, Labanei Deyanin. And therefore, says the Bar Rashi, Zilusa de Truma Lechalik Lehem, the Goyden Le'en Kol. If you can have a Cheshit Vekot coming in, a little kid, and someone who's obviously deranged, Nebuchadnezzar mute, any one of these three, you're going to give them truma. People say, give it truma. This guy give truma.
Shemeris is trumasi.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking that. You're not talking about truma possibilities, and that's the bottom choice talks about that. But the Gemara here is talking about the zilzul for truma that in public we're giving truma to these. Exactly.
Rabbanidea.
The same thing applies to Tum Vandroyus. Now, what's the problem? Top of the Amid. Very even from the Yatsman in him. So what's wrong with that? Says Rashi, Rabbi Zilus the Kachim, it's all to Kachim, a Zilus, a Zilzul to give these people. So now that's only in public. But we will send it to them privately, you know. Yeah, they deserve to eat them, they're Kahanim, no problem. We're not going to give it out to them in public because these are slightly off the trodden path. Evanami, why? That already goes back to Machlekes of Beautimetric, you see. Tomas Rasu Kimi Truma Liachs. So therefore we don't want to give it to them. We can go and send it to their home, fine. But don't give it to them in public. People say, oh, Ezakayan. Really happens to be an Evan.
Lashon Asuke, that word is...
Did you have the Gemara before? No, didn't we have the same word before?
You did it, it slipped past me.
Your Malin, this is Malin. Here, the word Asuke is like the word Malin.
Okay.
You elevate him to Truma, to Truma the opposite. From the Truma, it's like almost like a Lashon Maskana. You will decide, they
certify. You'll certify.
Certify, good. Oral Letame, why? Mishum Demisi, their Mos. The Oral, even though it's Mesu Echot Machmas Mila, he's never had Oinis, but never, he doesn't have a Pris. And the same thing as the Tommy, he's done. Now, the Tommy is only because he's Moz. The reason is because he's going to be Matam. So you have to say, he's talking about a situation, maybe the Tzvua was Mukhsha the Kabul Tumma. So you're not worried about the Tumma, but it's still Moz to give it to Oinis.
But the Tommy. I'm
sorry?
The Naro is not allowed to Tumma.
Is it not allowed to Tumma now?
Didn't we have that before, that
the RO was... beginning part. Let's assume that he cannot eat truma, but is he entitled to receive the truma?
Okay.
Yeah,
because he can go give it to his family, he can go give it to his wife, his children, yeah, etc., etc.
I am the Aleph.
Exactly. Anyway, what was the reason for it?
Yeah, it's two limudim.
What were the two limudim?
It's Bachot Rabbi Kiva and...
And the other one. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you learn it out from...
Ish.
The rabbi
says,
"Toshav Sacher." Toshav Sacher. Toshav Sacher. Only one side is Yerush Shavah. We take Toshav from one side, Sacher, the other side. If it's Muftim Shneitzvah, Baruch Hashem, you remember. Anyway, the Oral can receive just like the Eved can receive, even if the Eved can eat it, even if the Oral cannot eat it, but he can go and give it to his wife. That Mishnah starts off. Oral is going to eat it, but his wife and the Abad can eat, right? Good. So Oral without Mishnah is don't give it to his wife. Nois ish jenna genis loy, meaning let's say a kohen who married a grusha for him. Yishum kadasa, we give him a kadasa. Well, yeah, bad guy, so we don't give him. Look at my isha, my time loy. One of the ten was an isha. Isha's entitled to each one. Kligi bara papa runa bara rishua. Kadam yishum grusha. because maybe eventually she will get divorced and she will revert to her status as a Bas Yisrael. Therefore, she's not a Truma. And I don't know every single lady, she's divorced, not divorced. Lebach, there are people in the community all the time to get divorced. I'm the last one that finds out about it, they got divorced. So, you might give her Truma when she's not entitled to Truma. Very simply, the granary might be in a secluded area, and if a woman's going to go there, it's only the farmer, it might be tzaris. Both reasons are good. Beidori means the granary, the Mecca of Lamasa, it's close to the town, and so therefore everybody knows the local happenings in the town, everybody knows the local gossip. So we know whether the woman Nebuch is divorced or the woman is still married. So the kush is not an issue. However, but it's a granary where there are very few people around, so the yichud issue is an issue. Inami could be the other way around. The merichik, it happens to be far from the town, so I don't hear every single time somebody gets divorced, so it's a problem, maybe she's a kusha. But a lot of people are drains of over here. And that's the reason why I don't have a problem of yichud, but I do have a problem of the kusha. Okay, we'll stop over here. The kulan, we continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Rabbi, thank you for joining us. David, thank you for joining us. Shlomo, from Eretz Yisrael. Good to see all of you. Hatzlacha Rabbah, have a wonderful day, everybody.